be fair and just be real with them. I think you'll win them over in the long run. Let them know you care. You may be the only positive thing they see that day. But you don't know what they go home to. So, you know, find something positive to say to that child. They will remember it.
Hey, Steve here with episode 46 of Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12. And today I'm talking with Hugh Kite, who is the principal of East Lawrence Elementary School in Lawrence County, Georgia. Hugh knows and understands why the principals should be focused on creating a positive climate and culture. His energy is amazing. After spending only 10 minutes with him, his focus on people becomes instantly apparent. Kids, teachers, community members, staff, anybody, everybody want to say hi and just talk. Today we are talking about his thoughts and ideas with connecting with kids and people. Wait till you hear him describe his game room for student reward time and his Coca-Cola diner for entertaining and recognizing others. I challenge you to listen to his ideas and see what you could do to create your own versions and help build your climate and culture in such a positive way. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, Steve here again with another episode of Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. And today I have Hugh Kite with me, who is the principal of East Lawrence Elementary School in Lawrence County, Georgia. He's a former teacher, principal of different levels, and just an all-around great guy who's an incredible educator. And his big claim to fame is that he does some really cool stuff for building relationships. Say hi to everybody, Hugh.
Good morning, Steve. Glad to have you here at East Lawrence Elementary School.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and you got so much to share for all our listeners, and I can't wait for them to get a chance to listen and glean from you some ideas for their own schools.
So, great. I'm excited about it.
Well, thank you again. And so let's go ahead and just start by, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background as an educator, and before you're an educator, tell us a little bit about you as, you know, growing up.
Okay. I was a young boy in Cedar Grove, Georgia. That's a little small community. My mother and father divorced, and I went with my mom and had a farm. I'm out of a family of six. There were six of us children on that farm, and we grew up poor, actually. We still had the outdoor bathrooms, if you know what I mean, the toilets. So we had holes in our jeans when they were not popular to have them. We even had holes in our patches before they came out. I should have saved all those pants, and I could have sold them for big bucks right now.
You sure could have.
Yes, but back in the day. So we grew up poor, and I guess that's why I sort of have a compassion for the poor man, the down-and-out person. You know, I've not been that way ever since I've grown up, and we went to a little school called Cedar Grove School. It was a small school, and where there were just 33 of us in grades 1 through 7 with three teachers. So I think that was a good thing. So we built, because teachers knew all about us. And they built relationships with us, and I carried that forward as I moved on. And then we went to middle school, then they integrated the schools. So I got to go through the integration phase in that part. And there was this young black man by the name of Archie McRae. He was a teacher and coach and had a big influence on me. He was sort of like my hero at the time. And as I moved on to high school, so did he. So we bonded a relationship there. He coached me in different sports, track and football. And as I moved on to college and came back, we got the opportunity to coach together. So we had a good friendship all throughout until he passed away several years ago. But he was a big influence on my life, actually, because I saw how he treated everybody the same. Didn't matter where you came from, what you had or did not have, he treated everybody with respect. And he could do things and get by what other teachers couldn't, because everybody knew he was fair and consistent. and that carries a long way with a child.
That's awesome. So if if he was here today, what would you say to him?
First, I'd probably hug his neck and say, it's good to see you, my friend. And I'd thank him. Thank him for showing me the, you know, giving me the path and the direction. You know, as I grown up, I could use a lot of his style and techniques to build a relationship with children themselves. And I think that's very important. And he had that with all. Everybody knew Coach Mack, as we called him. So everybody knew him and everybody liked him. He was well-liked by all.
Nice. So let's I just want to kind of focus on a couple of things you said there for a second. And you said Cedar Grove.
Yes. Right?
Now, where is that located?
It's in the south end of Lawrence County. It borders Dodge County. And so it's probably from where the New West Lawrence High is now. It's probably a 30-minute drive. Lawrence County is a large county, as you know. So
right.
We only came to Dublin once or twice a month. We stayed on the farm at that end. So.
Wow. So, and so the reason why I want to point that out is that you're a principal in the county where you grew up.
Yeah, that was a great experience to be principal of the high school that I graduated from. So that was special to me.
That's awesome.
That opportunity, yes.
And I know that you've shared with me when I've driven around the county that isn't that school building still there? Or?
Cedar Grove is still there. That's one of the older school buildings that's been around. It wood building is still there, and it's Cedar Grove Community Center now. I go there once or twice. I think my picture's on one of the walls when I was a little boy running around. So it's it's still there, and I have good memories there.
Very nice. Very nice. So that's cool. Now, I do have to come back to something that you said, which we're talking about those outdoor bathrooms. So
yes.
So you actually had outhouses.
Yes, we did. I remember when I was seven, we got a regular restroom, and we just put a piece of wood over the plank, made a playhouse out of it. So it went from an outhouse to a playhouse.
Sorry, that gives unique images.
Very.
You know, if you got to go potty, it's right there.
That's it.
That's, I like that. So how did your family survive? What did they?
Farming.
I mean, what type of farming? That's what I meant to ask.
We raised crops and hogs, actually. So I had responsibilities of feeding hogs and all every day when I got in from school. And that was my job, to wash the hog parlor out. And that was always fun with a fire hose, you know. You smell real good at the end of the day, needless to say. Yes.
I can imagine. So let's talk a little bit about the different – now, as a teacher, you were a PE in science? Is that,
yes.
So talk a little about your teaching experiences.
Okay. It was a great idea, too. Well, it was a great special happening for them to get hired back into the school system where I graduated. And I started out with 5th, 6th, and 7th grade health and PE. Start that point, I taught, and they wanted, and then the head wrestling job became open my first year teaching, and nobody else would coach it, so I jumped on that also. I wrestled on the first team West Lawrence ever had, the wrestling team.
Oh, wow.
I was captain on it, that team, in my junior and senior year, so I was all excited about being a coach also. So I coached the wrestling team, and it was a great experience for me to get to. With coaching, you get to dig a little deeper and with your relationship with the students. You get to know them a little better outside the classroom. So I think that's an advantage. I think there needs to be a little more coaching in the classrooms today.
Tell me a little bit about what you mean there.
Well, when you get to know the kid, I think that's a very important thing. Know where the kid's coming from. As I told you, I probably have compassion for the down-out kids because I was one of those kids. And I can tell them that, hey, you can make anything you want to be. You can be what you want to be if you have desired motivation to do it. And so I would, when my high schoolers and when I started coaching them at the time, it was a transition because I was like 22 and I had an 18-year-old senior out there coaching. It was, you know, and I had my way I want it done. And so it was a learning experience for both of us. And I think after you built relationships, I started building relationships with them. I started gaining their respect and success started happening.
Right.
And, we wind up a few years later, I think like 4 or 5 years later, we won the state championship.
Nice.
I took a group of kids I had at Southwest Elementary. I taught them PE. I put a wrestling unit in it. From that wrestling unit, I picked me a team. And as that team got older, from that we had a Northwest and a Southwest. We only had one Northwest high school wrestler. The rest were Southwest, and we won state championship that year.
Wow.
So it was a really amazing thing and good parent support. If you get the child behind you, your parents are going to follow.
That's nice. That's excellent. I know I was with you in a little town not too far from here, and we were having lunch, and you kind of said that there might be some people you'd run into that call you coach.
Right.
And that's a cool sort of thing.
It is. And when they approached me as Coach Kite, now I knew they were one of my former students at that point.
Right.
And they said, Coach Kite, I trust you. Treat my child like he did me. And that makes me feel good just to hear them say that and know that I have their respect. And then they know I'm going to be fair and consistent.
That's excellent. So let's talk a little. Let's move forward a little bit. Now, you've been a principal at this is not your first
No,
go around
not.
In the party, is it? So
I was principal of Southwest. Well, my first principalship was at Susie Dasher Elementary School, Dublin City Schools.
Okay.
I was assistant principal at West Lawrence High School at the time, and they called me during the summer, and I went for an interview. I got the job pretty fast. So I've taught every grade level from K through 12. I taught health and physical education or science to every grade level, and that gives me a little advantage because I've seen the beginning, I've seen the end. So I really cherish that part. And Susie Dash was grades pre-K through 2. So it was a little adjustment to me again to go back elementary. And so I was principal there 2 years, and then the Southwest Lawrence Elementary job became open, and I applied for that job, and I got that job, and I was at Southwest for 8 years. And that's a pre-K through 5. We were a dream school in the year 2000. I've had the, I guess I was lucky, but had that situation where I moved in from an old school to a brand new school.
So I
left the old Southwest, we moved into the new Southwest, a nice building there, and got to help design it, and it was just an awesome experience. And then after I was there 8 years, the West Lawrence High School job came open. They talked to me on that one, and I said, well, I was assistant principal there one time, I guess let's do it. So I went to West Lawrence High School and stayed there 5 years, and second year we moved into another new school. So I got to move into two new schools. I'm blessed. I feel like I'm blessed on that end. And I left, I retired at West Lawrence in 2010. And about a week later, I get a call from the board, and they say, we got this job, East Lawrence Elementary. I said, 49% with a full-time assistant principal. About 500 students. I said, you know what? I believe I'll try that again. I think elementary is my calling. I like high school. I like all grade levels. Only grade level is probably not as middle school. I was at middle school teaching for 2 years, and I approached the board office. I said, move me up or move me down. They're too young to date and too old to play with baby dolls. And then I said, I don't think this is me. So I'm either going to go high school or elementary. So I've been here, and that's my fifth year at East Lawrence Elementary. I'm really enjoying it.
Excellent.
I'm having fun.
And you can tell, and we're going to get into some of that in just a little bit, because it's just amazing the positiveness that you that just kind of flows from you. And you know, when we talk about people trying to learn about how to change cultures of schools and so forth, there's just so much that just simply by I watch you interact with kids and teachers and the way you talk with people and parents and your staff, other staff members, and it's just a big part. The culture of this school is like one. It's a smile. I don't know
right.
how else to describe it, except it gives you a happy feeling, and you see the kids. You know, they want to be here, and that's a neat thing.
And I want the kids to be able to approach me. I won't be that bad guy that's in the office. I want to know the whole total kid. That's what I strive to do. And I want them to be comfortable to come in and talk to me if there's an issue going on. I want to know about it. I want to be honest with me. So you got to build that, and it takes a little time. But you can build it.
Oh, definitely. I've watched you interact with children who are in trouble, and I mean, you have a nice, smooth way of addressing them and working with them, and they know that their life's not coming to an end. But at the same time, they got trouble coming.
That's right. And I tell them, I said, we all make mistakes.
Right.
Hugh Kite had his share coming up. You know, he was a regular visitor in the office. We had I got a plaque that. When I was in seventh grade, well, I was in the office 17 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, 17 times. Mr. Larry Walter, he's a retired principal now. And I loved the man. You know, I could know when he walked in the room, when he was red-faced, I knew it was my turn. I'd get on up and go with him. But I'd just say, you got me. I never would lie to him. I'd say, okay, you caught me this time.
All right. So you obviously learned some lessons out of a lot of things in life.
Yes.
And, so let's kind of come back to the school, because I also got to say this. Your picture must be someplace else for like one of the shortest retirements on on record.
Yes.
So you actually for a month there, did you go do anything like when you that?
Yeah, I had that 30 days that I was not allowed. You know, of course, after you retire.
Right.
I went on a 17-day road trip in a motorhome.
Nice.
Went out west 17 days.
Awesome.
when I retired. And I asked him where he wanted to go on his senior trip. He said, Dad, I want to go out west. I said, well, pick a friend. We'll take you with it. We went out west for 17 days.
That is awesome.
Had a great time. I had shared some great memories on that.
That is so cool. So do you have other hobbies and stuff like this that you do?
I like camping. I like cooking. I'm a chef, so I cook for my staff a lot. So I guess they're lucky on that end. But I enjoy cooking. I enjoy fishing some. But mostly I enjoy I'm hyper, so I enjoy just being active, just doing something.
Nice. Yes. Well, you can tell that you like being around people because I see you interact, and you're just you're on every time. It's just it's something else. And that cooking thing we're going to come back to in a minute because that's something when if I say I'm going to East Lawrence back before I had actually met you, the first thing people tell me is, if you ever get a chance for him to cook for you, you need to have him cook for you.
Yes, I do. I enjoy cooking. That's a relaxation time for me. My wife likes that because I cook at night, so she doesn't have to worry about cooking. Now, I'm not a good dishwasher, so I tell her, we got a deal. You wash the dishes, I like to cook.
Very nice. Yeah, I got to tell you, on my end of the bargain, my family runs if I start talking about cooking. All right, they're like, no, Dad, that's okay. We're good. All right, we'll, microwave popcorn's looking pretty good right now. They won't even let me do that. So that's so that's very nice. So let's go ahead and let's start talking about something really cool. We're sitting right now in this game room, and we're going to take a walk around and take some pictures of this. But you've created this reward type situation in your school, and I want you to talk a little bit about it. And just for the audience, I just want you to know that we're sitting in a room where there's some video games, foosball, karaoke, just any number of a basketball game. There's football. There's a really cool game that he's going to explain in a minute that with trying to knock your opponent's pin.
Pool balls.
There's the pool balls off the table. Thank you. I'm like, boy, that's a hard word to come up with. Just lots of different games and so forth. And what's really cool about this is what's behind it, what the philosophy that you have and why you pursued doing this. And so why don't we start off by, I believe you told me that the kids got a chance to name this. And so why don't you tell us what it's called and then tell us a little bit about why you did it.
I sort of had this idea. I've been thinking about it for probably over a year. I said, our kids here, we 80% free and reduced lunch. And, of course, I was one of those kids growing up in that 80%. So I understand that they didn't get to go to arcades or go play all these games, throw all these quarters away. And I said, we could make something like that. And instead of feeding them ice cream or rewarding them with accelerated math and accelerated reader by giving them ice cream or treats, why don't put them in a game room? They get to come in here and just participate and be active and enjoy the fellowship and learn some social skills just interacting with other kids. I said, let's do this. So we got the idea and we started talking to a few folks, and we sold Otis Bugmeyer cookies to raise some money to buy these machines. And we bought a few machines. We have an ESPN basketball machine. They love that because there's two goals and it keeps up the score. On 1 minute, it keeps up who wins and it makes all this noise. These kids love noise, Then we got a karaoke. We got a skee ball machine. We got a pool table. Bought some of the pool tables and other things from yard sales. A lot of times I tell people what I'm doing and they would give it to me. We got this video game that has 60 games, the old school games like Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Frogger and all those games. The kids love it. We play in the – so we got multi-arcade games going on. Foosball, we got a Wii game donated by a gentleman. We got a Giant Connect 4, karaoke, and we got this new game that's going out now. I think a lot of church camps already have it called Carpet Ball. That's what you was referring to a few minutes ago, where you got solid – pool balls on one end and stripes on the other, and your goal is using the cue ball is to roll it to try to knock your opponent's balls in before he knocks yours in by rolling the ball down. That's probably the most popular game we have here.
Nice.
Braceville Fence Company donated that for us. Swing and Fence Company donated. They made them for us and gave them to us. So we appreciate them. We got cornhole games. We got checkers. We got Legos. Kids like to just sit there and make things out of the Legos. So we have actually there's two classrooms. And we used the end of the hallway for the cornhole, and the kids just rotate on their own. We thought we might have to put a timer on, but they do so well. We tried it already 2 days, and they were excited. They had a great time, and they want to come back. So some of the other kids, we gave them a walkthrough to begin and let them all walk through and get a look at it. Have a little taste.
Nice.
And then so they're working now. Tomorrow will be used for our third grade students who mastered all the facts.
Excellent.
So if they know all the multiplication tables, they get to come in here for 30 minutes tomorrow. So we're excited about it.
And you should be. This is amazing. I was out at your school working with some aspect of instruction and with some of your staff, and you started telling me about this idea, and you came down here, and so it's neat. I got to see it, and it's before it was when it was just an idea.
Right. And teachers have painted the walls, and we, like you said, we had a contest for our homerooms to name this place, and we had a contest. We voted on it. And the winning homeroom got free ice cream, of course, and it's called the Falcon Fun Zone. So nice. That's what they named it. That's what received the most votes. So we're excited about that. We had one of our board members donate a sign for us and put it up in the hallway. So we have a nice large sign there. So we're excited about it. And it's now 100% ready and ready to use. So
that's excellent. So talk a little bit more. You started talking about how the kids earn their way into this room. So
right.
So just it kind of sounds like there's a million different ways possibly that they could, but talk a little bit about what your thought is about this positive reinforcement, this reward.
We're going to use it for perfect attendance also. At the end of the year, any nice. Student that has perfect attendance, I'm going to give them time in the game room.
Nice.
So we want them to come to school. So we're going, we use it some for behavior. Teachers are coming up with ways, and they come and ask me, can we do it? I say, let's book it. So let the teacher have input in it too. I think it's working well. And we keep it locked. So it's locked down, kids. If you don't, they'll be in here. So we keep it locked down and set when it's in use. And we have a schedule and it's organized and it's been working. I'm excited about it. The kids are. We broke it in with the teachers. We had a Christmas party here for our teachers.
Nice.
And part of that, we had competitions where we came in here. So the teachers were the first to get to break it in. And I saw how much fun they were having. I said, okay, this is gonna work.
Yeah, that's cool. That's talk about another type of relationship building and just an activity to kind of work with the morale of your staff.
They enjoy beating their principal at games. You know, I go there and I brag about the carpet ball game. That's supposed to be my game.
Right.
And one of the rules is if one of the balls goes off the table, you forfeit. Of course, I had to forfeit my match right there in the tournament we had going on. So they enjoyed beating me at that point. We had fun.
Very nice. Yes. So I do have to say there is another game that I don't know what planet I've been on the last bunch of years, but it's just funny because I heard people talking about this all the time. And then I realized when I started going to some college games that people everywhere were playing it, and that's at cornhole, right?
Yes.
All right. For those who are listening who don't know exactly what this is, you got to describe it to them.
Okay. Yeah, because just the name of the game, cornhole does not sound, but it's a fun game. But you have boards on about 20 feet apart where we place them. They have a little hole in the middle of them. And you have these corn bags. It's actually a cloth bag, about a 4-inch by 4-inch, maybe a 5-inch by 5-inch. It has corn inside it, shell corn. That's why it's called cornhole.
Gotcha.
And you try to toss the bags. And if you hit the hole, you get 3 points.
Nice.
If you stay on the board without going off, you get you 1 point. So you earn points. Kids enjoy it. And if you ring it, and if you ring the hole, then my turn, I ring it. Of course, I cancel your points out. So we have the rules for the game, too, and the kids really like it. The teachers love it. They beat me in that game, too, by the way.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Miss Poole and I, we just went 0-for that day. I don't know. I've always stressed. I like to win in anything I do. I just like winning. I did not win anything that day, so I still remember that day. But they had fun anyway.
Nice. Very nice. Well, that is awesome. So I just want to reemphasize what's cool here is that you have something that the teachers have been able to create different ways in which kids can earn their way
That's
in
right.
here. And then as well as you've had the teachers use it to kind of help themselves with getting excited about interacting with each other and rebuilding some of that energy to work with the kids. So what I'd like to do is let's kind of move forward to another relationship building device that you have, which is your Coca-Cola room, which, by the way, for my listeners, and I'll make sure I have pictures in the show notes, you've got to make sure you stop by and look at the pictures from the game rooms and from the Coca-Cola room, because your Coca-Cola room's like walking into a diner from a few decades ago. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about what the purpose of that room is all about, and then how the Coca-Cola stuff came all about.
Well, I believe big in celebrations. We'll find a reason to celebrate. I think that's important in your schools. You know, there's so much emphasis on testing. You know, we test our kids and we just test them and test them. I think I find ways to celebrate things. You may be failing every subject, but you come to school every day. Okay?
Right.
We're going to celebrate that you are here.
There you go.
There you go. So you got to find ways to celebrate. And About 4 years ago, my assistant principal, Ms. Poole, and I were just talking. I said, you know, this back room just sitting here had three tables just sitting by this. We're not using this room. I found some paint in the gym, behind the gym, and I said, we got some white paint there. Let's go paint this room up and make a little nice little restaurant to celebrate in. So we started doing that. Another hobby of mine I forgot to tell you a few minutes ago was yard selling. I love to go to yard sales and flea markets. So
I love that.
I find things. And I said, I got a lot of Coca-Cola stuff. Let's do this. So we painted the room. We started adding Coca-Cola. I called Coca-Cola and told them what I was doing, having a celebration room, and they donated me some items. Then I had some parents giving me some items out of their attic. So right now it's full. We have a we can house about 50 kids in there at one time. We have our teacher meetings in there also. And sometimes I cook them, bake them cookies, and we have our meetings, and we right there in the Coca-Cola room. We have our school council meetings there. It's just a good multi-purpose room that we use.
Oh, it's excellent. You go in there, and I can just see. And let's just talk for a minute briefly. I can just imagine having the faculty in there and so forth. But explain what the school council is for a second.
That's our school. That's our local stakeholders, our business leaders, our parents, just our community base. And we have what's called an East Side Council meeting, where we have all the schools on the east side. The councils come meet in our Coca-Cola room.
Nice.
We have our bus driver celebration in the Coca-Cola room. So we have a lot of stuff for all four of our schools right here in that room. So it's become a success. In fact, Friday, we're having a baseball camp. They have John Rocker and Otis Nixon and all coming in. They're going to come to the Coca-Cola room. They're going to eat some of my grilled chicken. So we're going to have a good time in that room on Friday evening.
Very nice.
So we're excited about it. We use it, and I got my own smoke right outside I bring, and got a serving room now we got beside it. And then we even had an extension. We call it the Norman Rockwell room. I have some old pictures I found in the closets here, and I buy them at yard sales. So that's our extension room. So it's growing, and teachers use it, and it's a good room to have just to celebrate.
I think that's so awesome, because you got two huge messages here that you're talking about, and that's the relationship building, the rewards, and the recognition for hard work to encourage kids to do well, and then celebrating also. So
right.
Not only the relationship building and the helping to figure out ways of building those connections, but also that idea of celebrating, and which also then helps with those relationships, furthering them. So what I'd like you to do is why do you think it's – I mean, I know you've kind of touched on this just a little bit, but why do you think it's important to take the time to do this type of stuff in your school, to connect?
Well, I think relationships are important. It's one reason why, because I think I gave you an example one day when we were going to Adrian to eat, that there was this kid coaching wrestling. We were practicing in the hallways because we didn't have a practice room at that point. And there was this kid coming down the hall crying. He was an eighth grade kid, and I didn't know him. I was a high school coach at that point, and I taught at the elementary, but I asked him to come over here. I said, what's going on? He said he just got cut from the basketball team. He said his parents were going to be upset with him. And I've been known for hallway recruits.
Right.
So I recruited him at that point. I said, won't you just come on and join our wrestling team? I said, come here, let me show you something. I won't cut you. So I said, unless you miss practice. So he came from that day on. And I'm going to give you a little history of this kid. That was the eighth grade. Ninth grade, he started for me as a 160-pounder, a freshman. He lost one match that ninth grade year. He never lost another match in high school. He broke the Georgia record, 101 consecutive victories.
Wow.
He won three state championships. He went on to college with a scholarship. He won a national championship in wrestling.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's what I was saying. I said, and I didn't know this kid before eighth grade. I said, this was blessed. I was blessed. And now he has his own wrestling school called The Storm.
Nice. That's
his full-time job. Now he has his own school for wrestling. That he tutors all these wrestlers. So it's that's one relationship. And I could call on Gerald at any time. He'll come. I mean, he's just a true friend of mine now.
That is so awesome. And just simply, you're very thankful for that basketball coach, I guess.
Yes, I thank him every time I see him. He's retired now. I just still want to thank you for cutting this kid. It's the sad thing about this kid's parents never came to a match.
Oh, my gosh.
They never watched him wrestle in a match. And I finally went by and picked him up and took him to a college match when Jared was trying to win the district there at Chattanooga. And they went with me at that point. And good parents. They were just old-fashioned. They had, 11 kids. They were old-fashioned, didn't have much, and just a good family, though. But I hated they missed his high school career wrestling because he was great.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah, that's amazing. That would have been neat to have seen all
yes,
that.
Yes, it was awesome.
But just those connections and the celebrating and building those relationships, you know, led to some fantastic experiences there. And I got to come back to what do the kids say? What do the kids think about this type of stuff, like the room? And
they like it. They really think. I had one yesterday tell me, "Mr. Cat, don't you own this school?" I told my buddy, "You own this. This is your." No, I'm afraid the Board of Education owns this school. I just work for them. But, so they really think that. I guess because I put so much into it, they think it's my school.
Nice. Yeah. Let's talk just a little bit here about let's go this direction for a minute. So with all of this, let's get some advice from you. If you were going to talk to, if I was going to put you on a stage in front of 100 brand new teachers who had. They haven't been in their classroom the first day yet. They've graduated, they've gotten a job, and now they're getting ready to go into some different buildings. And you had a chance to talk to Hunter. What advice would you give them?
First of all, I'll tell them to be real, because kids will pick you apart. They read you, they read the positive and the negative from you. I say it's sort of like a dog knows the people. They'll come up to a person they know likes dogs. They can sniff. They know. These kids know, too. Be real with them. Be consistent and get to know them. I said, get to know where they come from. We just took teachers on a trip 2 weeks ago. I loaded them on the school bus, which they did not like my driving, by the way, but I loaded them on the school bus. Had one to get a little sick, got a little car sick, but that was okay. And I took them to some of these houses that our kids live in.
Nice.
I took them by the houses and the hotels. We have kids living in hotels. And I said, I want you to see why this kid may be putting food in his book bag at lunchtime. And you had to say, don't do it. I said, let them put the food in the book bag. I said, you need to see. I said, you've had it. You know, we can't relate sometimes. You've never been there. It's hard to relate to it.
Right.
So they know I got a compassion on that end. I want them to know, I think you got to build that relationship, be consistent, be fair. They pick that up right off, you know. Be fair and just be real with them. I think you'll win them over in the long run. Let them know you care.
Very nice.
You may be the only positive thing they see that day. But you don't know what they go home to. So, you know, find something positive to say to that child. They will remember it.
That's nice. That's awesome advice. Yes. Appreciate it. Let's go the same route, but let's go with principals. Now, if you're giving advice to some principals who are getting ready to take over some that didn't come out right. Not take over. They sound like Darth Vader or something like this. You know, some people they might be.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
let's not go there. But if you're to give some advice to some people who are tasked with changing the culture of a school, what advice would you give them?
Go there and be positive. They got to know your vision. They got to be able to follow you. They got to know where you're going. So you got to let them know where you're going. When I went to West Lawrence, I said, okay, I want us to be winners. And we pushed it. I said, I want you to show some pride in your school. And we'd have special things. I made them all learn our alma mater. And I said, we're going to sing. I said,
nice.
I could call on you at any time. Won't you sing that to me? And we sing it on Fridays.
Nice.
We sit on intercom. We would do it. My first graduation, I noticed they had to give them all little cheat sheets. And then after graduation practice, they're all over the floor. I said, okay, we won't use these cheat sheets anymore. We're going to learn this alma mater. So I had to learn my first year there. And from then on, and they're still doing it today, they
nice.
Know the alma mater. In fact, we're singing it here now. I'm starting in elementary. On Fridays, we sing the alma mater. So when they get up to that middle and high school, they're going to have it. So I'm making their job easier.
That's awesome. You're building that connection from the elementary school.
Taking a little pride in your school. I say, if you do something, either be the best you can be at it or don't do it at all. That's my motto. If I go after something, I'm going wide open with it.
That's
excellent. I'm not going to do it.
That is excellent. And just as a note, that what fits right along with that, and I got to say this, is that you heard Hugh talk about how the kids named it the Falcon Fun Zone. Well, the school colors here are yellow and black, right?
Right.
And their mascot is the Falcon, which is also the mascot of the high school.
That's right.
And the school colors. And so it's cool because you're helping to connect them, because they already have the colors and the mascot, but you're also helping to connect them with this image of, you know.
That's right. Won't be proud they came from East Lawrence Elementary, East Lawrence High, instead of holding the head down when they called a name. I want them to hold the head up high and say, yeah, I'm a graduate of East Lawrence High School. That's what I want them to say.
That's awesome. As we're coming to a close here, and we're going to go take a look, and we're going to go, hopefully you're going to let me play Pac-Man or something here.
There you go.
Or Galaga, or at least.
Basketball. We might have to have a little competition, you and I, with the basketball game.
I like that. Okay, we'll have to try that, because I'm really bad at that sport, all right?
Dude, yeah. I might beat you there.
Is there anything that you'd like to just add before we bring it to a close?
I think most important, and I gave this speech my when I thought I was retiring, we had a countywide meeting.
Yes.
I gave a good little speech. I said, picture this child that's in high school. He's from a divorced family. One of the other sides comes with a warrant to pick him up from the school to take him back to their house. He runs away from the principal. He runs away from the school. He hides from everybody. I said, and then he winds up being sent, but going to send him to a juvenile home. And then one of my uncles agreed to keep me at that point. I said, I'm that child that agreed to keep me at that point because I didn't want to go to that place. So then we had court, and I wound up, you know, staying with my father at that point, like I wanted to do at the beginning. And this child gets suspended for fighting in school. I said, this child that didn't really have a dream, just surviving, to a child finally got a little something. These teachers touched him and made him say, I want to be like him. I want to be like Coach McCray. What have I got to do that? And I said, okay, I got to go to college. That was never on my agenda to go to college. You know, I stayed in office. I didn't ever know I'd be using that office, but I stayed in so much in high school. But my goal was I liked him so much. And I used him during my interview for my first job as an example. This is why I'm here. And I do appreciate what Coach McCray did for me. Teachers don't know how big influence they have on kids. So that's big on me. I just think teachers, principals, anybody associated with kids need to know they have a big impact on students, positive or negative.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
I thank you so much for sharing that. Hugh, I can't thank you enough for your time today.
Thank you.
And I greatly appreciate what you're doing for kids and for your staff and for your community. This is it's just amazing because you make the kids want to be here, want to do good, want to work and achieve. And it's just an amazing, positive climate that you've created.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.